This episode is brought to you by Odd Mo's Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
This episode is also brought to you by the Canby Liquor Store. Father's Day is coming, and they really have everything that your dad really wants. From hand-selected gifts you won't find anywhere else, to small batch bourbons and unique craft beers. Find them in the Fred Meyer Shopping Center. Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Coronavirus, civil unrest, a looming presidential election that has drawn unprecedented interest and turnout, with 2 days still to go. For Halloween 2020, there was plenty to be afraid of that had nothing to do with frightening costumes or candy-induced stomach aches. I can still feel mine. On Halloween night, local households and families were faced with the question of marking a holiday in a time in which traditional means of celebrating it, including door-to-door trick-or-treating and indoor costume parties, have been discouraged by public health officials due to a rise in coronavirus cases. A number of families chose to venture out and reported positive experiences. Got lots of candy from several houses, and everyone did a good job of keeping distance, said local mother Cheyenne Yeager, who went door to door with a young zombie cheerleader and a fearsome Grim Reaper. They had fun, and it felt like every other year. They didn't mind even wearing masks the whole time because it kept their faces warmer. Jennifer Peterson told us they handed out candy at their house, just as they had in the past years, signaling their participation in the annual tradition in the usual way, leaving their front porch light burning. Not as many trick-or-treaters as past years, but the kids that did come got handfuls instead of one or two pieces, she said. Almost every parent said thank you for still handing out candy and letting the kids trick-or-treat like normal. A lack of trick-or-treaters was very much not a problem in some neighborhoods. It was non-stop from 6 till 9:30, said Scott Anderson, whose home was transformed this month into an elaborate hellscape featuring a battle between undead warriors and zombie pirates. At some points, the line to walk the planks stretched past his neighbor's house, Anderson said. He and his family handed out hundreds of pieces of candy as well as about 350 Jell-O shots to parents. We only allow one group at a time to keep in line with social distancing, he said. Everyone was so cool and respectful of others. It was truly a very fun night for us, and we're just happy that we could share our fun with the town. Most of those who participated in trick-or-treating noted the need to do something resembling normalcy in a year in which so many bedrock institutions, from school to sports to church to events and clubs to even a trip to the local grocery store, have been deeply impacted. One mom actually teared up while thanking us for doing what we did. A large group of teens thanked us as well, said Rob Oberg, a piping mechanical designer at an engineering company in Lake Oswego, who built a 6-foot-long candy chute to hand out treats while maintaining social distance. I know more people have done the same for the kids. They really needed something positive in their lives. The kids have had too many things shut down for them this year. I wanted to give them one small victory. The Gitz family carried on a tradition that is already well suited for the coronavirus era, pumpkin carving. We do this pumpkin display every year, said Linda Heen Gitz, It's a Gitz family tradition with everyone carving pumpkins from adults to the littlest one at 4 years old. Others started new traditions, like Kayla DeShazer, whose children went trick-or-treating at each door of their own house. It definitely was different than most years where we would have gone downtown, but we tried to make it memorable at home, and they enjoyed being able to dress up and still trick-or-treat around the house, she said. The kids definitely stayed awake longer than normal, though. Walking around town really tires a trick-or-treater out, and this mama is excited for next year, hopefully, when we can trick-or-treat downtown again. For lots and lots of photos, visit our website, canbefirst.com. As one of the most intensely watched presidential elections in recent memory draws near, Clackamas County elections officials are surprised and thrilled by the high levels of engagement and very ready to deliver a secure and accurate tally of the vote. Calls and even in-person visitors known as election observers have flooded into the Clackamas County Elections Office in recent days, as election manager Andrew Jones explained last week in a conference call with reporters.
We're getting a lot of people calling very emotional and very concerned that their ballot will not be counted as they expect it to. And so it's, for our staff, it has been challenging to just take a beat, take a breath. And we've been reminding them that, hey, we are here to serve our voters. And so when they're calling us, we are happy for the opportunity to address their concerns. We want them to call us.
In a year where election officials in many states are anxiously preparing to process unprecedented millions of mail-in ballots brought on by the pandemic, the process in Oregon is virtually unchanged from how the state has done voting for over 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot more attention on this election. And a lot of voters who are seeing national news and hearing stories about how elections are being conducted around the country and not realizing that we've been doing vote by mail here for 20 years and that our system is tried and true. And so it's been a lot of voter education.
The one thing that has been a noticeable and welcome shift from previous election cycles are the large numbers of ballots that have been returned early. As of Sunday evening, Jones and his team have received ballots from more than 221,000 of the county's 308,000 registered voters at a 71.9% turnout. That is a full 21 points higher than this same time in the election cycle 4 years ago. Clackamas County Clerk Sherry Hall admitted it had been a challenge, mainly due to the levels of staffing that have been reduced because of the pandemic.
A little overwhelmed, because pre-pandemic, we could have a lot more temporary workers here, but pandemic space limitations has really reduced the number of people that can sit at the tables, open the ballots to prepare for tally. And we've never gotten this many ballots back this early, but we do love the fact that we have gotten them back early, because it's better for us to do all this before election day instead of after. Some of our temps, they're older people usually, so some chose not to work, but county administration has just stepped up to the plate with everything we need, including redeploying regular county staff to work in our election until we're finished.
Election officials have not had to increase security or alter their procedure based on high turnout or voter concerns, Jones said. A police officer or deputy will accompany the bipartisan team of election workers to do their final pickups at 8 p.m. Tuesday at each of the county's 25 ballot boxes. But this has been the county's standard practice for years. It's too late to mail your ballot and be sure it will arrive in time. Instead, visit one of the county's official ballot drop boxes, including two located in Canby at the Canby Civic Center and Library, as well as Arnson's Gardens behind Fred Meyer. For more information about voting in Clackamas County, including frequently asked questions, visit clackamas.us/elections. To track the status of your ballot online, visit the My Vote page from the Oregon Secretary of State's office. Thousands of Oregon elementary school students, including in Clackamas County, could be headed back to the classroom this fall thanks to new, substantially more flexible COVID-19 safety standards state officials unveiled Friday. The new metrics significantly lower the benchmarks by which Oregon measures whether counties may reopen their schools for in-person instruction. Based on projections this summer, the previous metrics, which were among the strictest in the nation, would not have allowed schools to widely open until next April. This new metrics allow K-6 students to return for hybrid in-person learning if the county case rate is fewer than 50 per 100,000 residents over 2 weeks and the county test positivity rate is between 5 and 8% over the same period. If counties maintain the same case counts while also dipping below 5% in test positivity rates, districts would be permitted to reopen in-person learning for 7th through 12th grade students as well. The Oregon Department of Education said it is relaxing the standards because of nationwide data demonstrating measures school districts can take to successfully protect student and staff health as well-being during an in-person instruction. The new, more flexible metrics take effect immediately, but when or if the schools reopen will be up to local districts. Although most schools in Portland metro area still would not meet the standards for reopening elementary schools, Clackamas County does. State officials decided to allow elementary schools to reopen because classes are generally smaller, students have fewer contacts outside of school and home, and they are easier to cohort. Based on this week's data, the new standards potentially allow close to 130,000 students to return to in-person instruction, the ODE said. On Friday, Canby Superintendent Tripp Goodall said the district will need some time to evaluate its reopening plans in light of the new guidance. We know there is much to be considered before we can transition into a hybrid learning model, Goodall said in a message to families. We must work with our associations to ensure staff are prepared to return to our schools. We are beginning to create new bus routes to provide transportation safely. We need to evaluate our planned cohorts to ensure class sizes can accommodate social distancing in our schools. In a press conference Friday morning, Oregon Governor Kate Brown said the new metrics are aligned with CDC recommendations and bring Oregon in sync with the standards of other states, including California. They also help us meet our priority of returning students to in-person instruction, Brown said. These metrics still place a very high bar for low case counts to open schools, while at the same time still providing more flexibility for our younger students. Though the state has relaxed its benchmarks for reopening schools, it has not eased the strict guidelines for how they must operate amid the continuing pandemic. That means keeping class sizes small and maintaining distance between students and teachers, requiring universal mask use, and enforcing frequent hand washing and other cleanliness standards. Classrooms must be cleaned and disinfected regularly and must offer good ventilation and airflow. Strict screening protocols will also have to be implemented to spot new outbreaks and quickly isolate confirmed cases, as well as any students and staff who have been exposed. Parents will have the option of continuing distance learning if they choose. The decision to loosen school reopening guidelines comes just as the virus is surging to new highs in the state. For 2 days in a row last week, Oregon set a new record highs for confirmed coronavirus cases on a single day. On Friday, the Oregon Health Authority reopened 600 confirmed cases of the novel coronavirus, 25 more than the previous high, which had been set on Thursday. OHA reported another 555 Saturday and 524 on Sunday. Those numbers represent real people and their families, OHA said in a news release. Our hearts go out to them and all who are impacted by this pandemic. The numbers included 188 new cases linked to Clackamas County, along with 351 in Washington and 508 in Multnomah. The state also reported 20 new deaths over that period, most of the victims being 60 or older with underlying health conditions. The state's coronavirus death toll now stands at 691. On Friday, school and health officials had again urged Oregonians to be diligent in following the now standard pandemic control guidance to help ensure more schools can reopen for in-person instruction this fall. These metrics depend on the public doing its part to reduce Oregon's case rates so that all of our children can return to in-person instruction. Oregon Department of Education Director Colt Gill had said, "Oregonians can reduce spread and send our kids back to school by wearing a face covering, maintaining distance, washing hands frequently, and avoiding group gatherings." A Cambie woman was arrested near Sun River in Deschutes County early Friday morning after reportedly driving the wrong way on Highway 97, then leading police on a brief pursuit. Angel Gross, 43, faces charges of DUI, felony attempted to elude, resisting arrest, first-degree criminal mischief, aggravated harassment, and reckless driving. That is one heck of a rap sheet. The Deschutes County Sheriff's Office received a call at approximately 4:38 a.m. Friday of a pickup truck driving north on the southbound lanes of travel on Highway 97. As deputies were entering the area, a Sun River police officer sighted the vehicle, a 2015 Toyota Tacoma, driving in the correct lane near the intersection of 97 and Cottonwood Road. The Sun River officer attempted to initiate a traffic stop, but the driver failed to yield, continuing south on Highway 97. Deschutes County deputies joined the chase as the driver, later identified as Gross, pulled a U-turn and headed back north towards Sun River. The pursuit continued for several more miles until Gross stopped and again attempted a U-turn, this time by driving back into oncoming traffic. According to the sheriff's office, a deputy used his patrol vehicle to stop Gross by placing his bumper against the bumper of the truck. Because the truck was driving at a slow speed after completing a U-turn, the maneuver caused minimal damage to the patrol vehicle and no one was injured. Gross refused to comply with officers' orders even after the Sun River Police Department attempted to subdue her and with the use of a taser. Gross was taken to the ground and continued resisting arrest, police alleged. A deputy and Sun River police officer sustained minor injuries while taking Gross into custody. The Bend Police Department responded to the scene. While they were conducting the investigation, their patrol car was struck from behind by another vehicle, according to Deschutes County deputies. Gross was transported to St. Charles Hospital in Bend for evaluation. She was ultimately cited and released at the hospital. Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows, you know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah. Which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers. And they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today.
All right, listeners, you're in for a spooky treat tonight.
Ew.
As we go through a frightening experience.
You're really not good at this thing, are you?
I'm not good off script.
You're not good just doing a smooth. What are you trying to say there, Frankie?
Yeah, it did.
It did get into weird territory there pretty quick. So we are so excited. We're about to go through the Scare Fair at the Clackamas County Fairgrounds, and we have the whole crew.
The whole crew.
Of Now You're This Can Be. Tyler Clausen, obviously.
That's me.
Producer Emeritus.
What does that mean? I'm not married to this.
It's like you like are retired and you have a protege.
Oh, I have a student. I'm a editor sensei.
Yes, and you have a senpai.
I am producer editor senpai.
Senpai. That's like the assistant to the sensei.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And that would be Cameron Clausen all the way in the back of the van.
Wait, there you are, everybody.
It's good.
And we also have our two lovely brides who are thrilled that we decided to do a podcast tonight. Joyelle Frankie.
Say hi, Joyelle.
I thought we were going on a date.
And my wife, Rebecca Clausen. Say hi, Rebecca.
That is all we're going to get out of her.
How do you guys feel about this this thing we're about to do?
I'm so scared. So scared.
Cameron's entirely scared. Too sober.
All right.
These guys have been pre-gaming a little bit. We haven't got too far.
We're in line, though. It counts.
Yeah.
It's not entirely pre-game when you're in line.
We've got our pretzels, too, that we're chowing down on from Bee's Bakery.
You mean the potatoes?
Not potatoes, they are.
So Cam, they won't get that joke.
There's a car next to us that, as we're eating these delicious pretzels from not Bee's Bakery, Bee's Bake Shop.
Sorry.
At the Dahlia, and some delicious beer cheese that I made. There's this car that is
It's just okay.
We'll talk about that later. There's this car that just been staring. I noticed it too.
Yeah, like, they rolled down their windows to stare at us.
Yes, they rolled down the windows just casually
glance at us.
So
they were
much
staring
at
us.
You.
Yeah.
And so you were kind of weirded out. So they just really wanted to know what we were eating.
Yeah.
And so Cam was trying to sell it to them as bread rolls.
He ended up going with potatoes.
Cam's time. Let Cam shine.
Yeah. Cam, tell us what you were thinking.
Yeah, what's the sales pitch here, Cam?
$2 a potato.
That's it? That's the whole thing?
Yeah, it's going to go around and go, potatoes here, $2 a potato,
potatoes
here,
though.
50 cents for cheese.
50 cents for cheese, all right.
And that's one scoop of cheese.
It's because the pretzels are like a little baguette.
But they do cheese by the scoop.
By the poop.
Like ice cream.
You can get it in a bowl or in a cone.
We're in line. We've been in line for a very long time.
Seems super short.
There's like hundreds of cars in the blue lot with us. Almost all of them.
Oh, we got movement over
there's
here
movement
on
over
the
there.
Right. It looks like they're going to start letting people in.
I've been clocking that. Almost everyone still has their car on, it seems, which makes no sense. It's not like we're inching forward. Like, we're literally stopped.
So you guys ready for me to go interview people?
No, you're not going to interview people.
Did you have anything else you wanted to get to during the...
So we are going to take a break. You had something you were going to say, and then we're gonna turn it back on once we actually start to go through.
He was
going to
do
fair.
A better introduction that wasn't so creepy and sexual. That's what was going to happen. If I talked like that, I would get accused of some things. Just say it.
Start your own podcast, lady.
Not like that. I would start it way different. I'll tell you that right now.
All
right,
can I do my intro now?
No.
All right.
Too many intros, for sure.
I think we just need the one.
All right, here we go. Welcome back, all you ghouls and gals, as we... Hey! This is my intro!
You already did that.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I know.
Neat. How neat is that?
Neato potato.
Here we go.
Neato potato.
Neato Dorito.
We should
Okay, I got a new one, Cameron. Okay. Jeez.
We should always have them.
Yeah, absolutely.
In
this
the
is. I don't know why we haven't had them before.
I can't believe it. 2.5 years.
Can I do this, please? Can I do this, please? Here we go.
She's Cleo.
All right.
Why did you call me Becca?
Can I please? Can I please? Record this intro.
I can hear.
Okay, can you guys
color.
Be quiet? They're the words.
I'll remember that, Frankie. You're not going to get Christmas presents.
Welcome back, all you creepers and crawlers out there. This is the Can Be Now podcast, sitting in the parking lot. Gosh dang it! Quiet! Shh! This is Now Hear This Can Be, coming at you live from, well, not live when you hear this, from the Scare Fair, the drive-thru. We're sitting down with our wives and our editor, Cameron, and we're about to go through.
Hey, what's good?
Okay, I think
all right, so we're moving.
Breaking news.
Well,
don't do it now. I'm not dead.
I'm practicing.
Well, we're thinking about moving.
We turned on the car.
The first car in our row is moving.
My darling.
We've sat here for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
I passed out potatoes.
We've had people stare at us, laugh at us, point at us, jeer at us, throw tomatoes at us.
Some of that didn't happen.
Most of that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But when I have 45 minutes to sit down and think.
It is bumping here in the blue lot. There is some hip hop in a Kia Soul coming out over there.
No doubt.
It's a Kia Soul.
He's a dad now, so he's allowed to sound really dumb.
There is what appears to be Hocus Pocus playing in another vehicle.
Oh, they're just straight up watching Hocus Pocus right now.
Which is, I mean, props.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well, we're acting out Hocus Pocus back here.
Yeah? Let's how's go. That?
All right, Cameron.
Let's go, girls.
What scene are you guys acting out?
What's the scene, Becca? I know you know it.
The witches are being witches.
Oh, okay. And one's like, I eat children.
Oh, my broom is, you know,
my hair is on fleek.
Wow, that is just cutting satire. That is exactly how
SNL
they were.
Could not have done a better job as we are moving through the blue lot.
Yes, we are.
Wow.
This is definitely worth putting on this microphone for.
We are.
Are we moving yet?
We be moving up onto the line.
We are really going.
Here be moving.
Walk the plane.
What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet? B.
Aye, that'd be a good guess, but actually, my first love is the sea.
Ah,
dude. Wow.
Favorite love.
Everyone does. Always. They always think they're so smart, and they're like,
Q.
It's actually W.
Actually, I never cared for R or C.
I like
W because of the two humps.
Okay. So we are now just really in the thick of it. We passed by
the terrifying advertisements.
Lots of advertisements from local businesses, which is great of the fairgrounds to do that for them. Some people ran out of, I think, the bathroom, and we pretended like they were part of it and screamed.
Yeah,
and
I was scared for my life.
And one of them laughed, and one of them gave us a look.
Which. If we're being honest, if we can get 50% of the people to think we're funny, and the other half think
that's
we're
a heck
dumb,
of heck of a good day.
We are doing okay.
I am happy about that.
No one thinks
it was interesting. It was interesting. The advertisements were interspersed with traffic cones tipped with human skulls.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting choice. I'm not going to read anything into that.
They're really small skulls, though, so that's something.
Yeah, they were pygmy skulls, I believe.
Pygmy skulls.
But we are almost into the actual, so we're going to start off here with Davis Graveyard.
There's an old man in a mask!
Davis Graveyard is, all of these different companies have interesting stories behind how they got into what they do. Davis Graveyard is just this family. The Davises out in Milwaukee.
The graveyards.
Yeah.
We are the graveyards. Welcome to our Davis.
Oh, yes.
I am Elvin
Jack
Graveyard.
And Diane Graveyard.
I'm Jackie Graveyard.
We own the local Davis. You've been there.
They're from Transylvania. That's why they juxtapose last name with
the
end. So the Davises, they, like, 20 years ago, they weren't even living in Milwaukee at the time. They started just doing this graveyard display in their yard, and it would pull people in from like all over the city. I think they were living in California at the time.
All right.
And then when they moved to Milwaukee, they started doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And they just added to it over the years.
And this year they weren't going to do it because of COVID and crowd sizes, but the fairgrounds reached out to them and asked if they wanted to set up their graveyard display here, and they said, heck yeah. So we're just passing by.
Hi. He's afraid you're going to get Rona and Ty.
He seems like a really nice guy.
Well, he seems.
And I'm going to go ahead and turn the microphone off before I start screaming. Here we go.
That's hilarious. Dr. Anna L. Brown, born 1920, died in 1985.
Won't you stay by me?
So next up is going to be Creatures of the Night, which I'm really excited about. They set up.
Well, there's some stuff on your side.
They set up in some of the old.
Terrifying thrills.
They set up inside some of the old barns that were built in like the 1920s. So I'm really excited to see what they did with that.
Who are these people?
This is Creatures of the Night. So they're really into how like facing your fears can have a positive impact on your life. Okay, we're entering into the scary, scary land. That kind of looks like Million Ants from Rick and Morty.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
Oh my gosh, look at the faces, look at the faces.
That one's gross. That one looks like a dog.
I'm like too good for that show.
What's that symbol even mean?
I don't know. Something,
Cam wants the other vent open.
Something satanic.
Open.
Spoopy.
Joel, can you answer that?
No! Frankie residents!
Like, scam likely.
It's me, Taco.
Talk about what?
Tacos.
This guy's really riding your butt. Oh, that guy's scary.
Well, there's two of them. One for you.
Yeah, these are...
One for
these
me.
These are pretty creepy.
They're in a little tunnel. What's inside? A demon dog!
Three-headed wolf.
No, it's... Oh, it is three-head. Sorry. My bad.
It's always
Cerberus.
Cerberus.
Hey, guys, check out this with the long neck.
Oh, I thought it was going to be my friend, a Brachiosaurus, but it's a Brachia. Nope.
Well, that's a very Lovecraftian-looking thing right there. Probably Azathoth.
Ooh, it's a all ghost right, child.
What are you going to do, whine at me? Because kids are whiny.
Lots of creepy stuff going on there.
Tentacles.
Yeah, what is that supposed to be?
Tentacles,
it looks almost like something from
pearl.
Color Out of Space.
It's a big old pearl that you're supposed to steal. We're going through the green gate. We're going through the green gate.
Okay, now we're headed into Fearlandia's territory.
Is this Fred Armisen?
There's a whole lot of not.
It's not Fred Armisen. Okay. Good. Many people make that mistake.
Okay.
There's a scarecrow. And some corn.
There's a light over here.
Oh, there's a man. That's not a man.
Light. That is a nice boulder.
Oh, and some tires. I like me some tires.
That guy looks like he works too hard.
I mean, they spelled trespassing wrong, so that just takes me out of the whole experience.
And his ma's not doing too good.
No.
Got a
shotgun. And he's mad about it. She looks like... I don't know. What does that face say?
Some music playing.
How dare you?
Somebody in the outhouse.
How dare you?
And stop looking, Frankie.
They've got a rotting shin. It's hard to not look at someone with their shins rotting off.
I mean, I paid for this attraction. I'm getting my money's worth.
That needs treated.
Wait, did we pay for this?
No, we didn't.
Well, you didn't.
You didn't.
Hey, we're entering into like, we need to be better at describing to the listeners what we're seeing.
There's a man in overalls who's a little bit filthy with blood, and there's a teepee of fire.
Very good, child. Don't forget the person wielding the chainsaw.
who's kind of like got noodly legs, so I don't have big expectations for what he's about to do because noodle
legs. He's got like a welding mask on.
And a wilty look.
Oh, Becca like this part, giant spiders.
Oh, there's definitely good Becca stuff here.
Oh, with a baby. There's
and
nothing
on the right
like
side,
a
we got like a forest scene with purple lights.
It's
and
like half of a forest.
Oh, there's an alligator eating a just a straight up alligator eating a leg, and then like a car with some overgrowth.
It's a really small car.
It is a very small car.
And it's like a baby.
On my side, we have a cult of skeletons that are worshiping a really large skeleton.
That makes sense. It's actually super
little
bad.
Skeletons always worship big skeletons. It's the rule of nature.
Get some of that audio. Oh, there's humans just worshiping that cult. That's great.
Oh, we got creeper cult guys. Well,
nice. Sounds like candy to me.
Well,
let's
cult guys, people. A bunch of cults.
Let's cult? Cut out the social commentary.
Actually,
there, Joel.
Cults are male baby horses.
Ew, they're creepy.
Oh, cult.
That's a cult.
Not,
that's what
not,
I said.
Not
cult.
A cult. Not
I said
cults.
A cult.
A cult.
It's also
okay,
a cult.
Coming up on the right side,
a
we have
type of gun.
Some more skeletons with dismembered body parts and a wall of body things. That's terrifying.
We're it's entering into the carnage.
Think
body thing.
Han Solo, but all bones and terrifying.
Oh, okay.
All
I see
bones,
what you're doing.
No
carbonite.
Game.
Carbonite.
Yeah.
Here we go.
It's like if Cronenberg did Star Wars, is what we just
said. Don't buy tickets from that man.
This guy's not selling us tickets. He wants to do things to our soul that is inappropriate.
So the thing with Fearlandia, they normally would have like, for their attraction, they do like 30 actors.
It says enter if you dare, but I feel like this is a one-way road. And
yeah, people behind us would get really mad if we turned around. So this
and like
is
I said, it's too close to
horrifying, horrifying
pool noodles.
Pool noodles, but soaked in blood.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pool noodles with blue blood.
Aliens.
This is my favorite part, I think, because they really played up the fairgrounds part of this. They,
gotcha.
You're they driving like we're going through a car. Like,
so
stop.
We got shoot some arrows at some babies.
Some babies.
That's a
that
seems
baby,
like a fun carnival
that baby
game.
Right there, I would shoot.
Tangle.
It looks like the.
It looks like we got severed head ring toss.
Well, these are just wrong. How do you do a ring toss? There.
You throw the ring onto the head. It's very obvious how this
game
works.
The other one said,
"Oh, classic! Throw the baseball and try to smash the rats."
I would do that on a normal day.
Rat splat.
Oh, but it said dart throw, but it
had
arrows.
Kill a rat with a shovel.
Oh, also more pool noodles.
Lots of pool noodles in that one. Okay, we're entering our last attraction.
Ooh, pumpkin
I'm trying to put some distance between the guy and my butt. We are entering the Nightmare Factory.
Nightmare Factory.
Nightmare Moon.
Nope, that's a My Little Pony.
These guys these guys built theirs under the grandstand, partially.
They did what now?
They built their attraction partially under the grandstand at the rodeo arena.
So we got some ghosty jack-o'-lanterns that are floating in the sky over a pumpkin patch.
Their thing, they went with like a factory vibe.
Okay.
Outside of what that part.
Yeah, that was more just kind of like a general pumpkin
patch
ghosty thing.
Well, what they did was they built this factory thing, but then they had other people that were like, oh, use my like giant spiders or use my pirates.
Uh-huh.
And so they just threw those in there too.
Use my
okay, so we got some faceless children. Terrifying!
Yeah.
Wow, I've discovered something about myself. I don't like faceless children. Fun!
But that one looks like about Gavin's age. And
well,
Gavin's
that dude
so
on the right.
Yeah.
Over here we got a holograph of an old face. Not excited about the old face
guy. Do you want me to take pictures of the faceless children?
Do it.
Do you want me to take pictures of the faceless children?
Let's move on. We've got people behind us. We don't need to keep them waiting. Let's keep going.
They're not that close.
We got some walls of skulls here. And just boxes of ammunition.
And impaled. Lots of impaled skeletons.
Yeah, definitely impalation on the skeletations.
I want to see what's going on here on the left.
On side, the left
where
side,
they're
we've
building
got
out the factory vibe.
They've got some brick walls. Really nice looking sconces.
Scarecrow from Batman.
Sconces.
So, ooh, Batman just, scarecrow.
Okay.
It moved.
I didn't think anything was gonna move.
So modest, though. Do you see how it just goes?
So, Scarecrow just ran at us, and I want out. I want out right now.
You were told none of the things would move.
I was told a very specific set of things would happen.
It's more.
Oh, and we got some nuclear waste coming up all up in here.
I feel like he was so humble because he was like, that was the easiest scare I've ever done. Like,
that was
he literally
so easy,
just,
yeah.
He took like a half step forward. That's
yep.
it.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I just really didn't expect anything to move.
And we got a giant spider thing on the right here.
You're driving
spider.
A lot
Not just
faster.
The spider, though.
Okay,
you got the
okay,
webs, and then they also have spider
the fact
eggs.
That you're driving really fast now, and we're missing a lot of things. Are you still, like, processing your trauma?
A little bit.
He's really trying to get out of here. So we got lots of spiders
on
now.
A human, just eating
ooh,
it.
Just straight up eating it.
It's like the
or they're just recreating yeah. the Hobbit, but
it's
if it went badly,
trick.
Yeah.
And if the
it
Hobbit
did not go
that
well for Frodo,
like a,
this is the pirate ship,
Pirate Cove. This is where we did our ticket giveaway.
Yo,
oh,
ho,
okay.
Yo ho, yo ho.
No, it goes a pirate's life for me.
Yo, a pirate.
Yo ho, yo yo ho.
No, a pirate's life for me.
Rum and gin and rum. Hi, pirate's life for me.
Yo ho. Aren't you bad at
yo ho, pirates, yo ho.
Alright, everybody, that has been Now Hear This Can Be at the Clackamas County Scare Fair.
I did scream once.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate and we got in a carriage ride with the horse and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police beat for the weeks of September 22nd through October 5th. On September 22nd, we start the weeks out just so perfectly at 2:36 a.m. Two juvenile pedestrians who had been hanging out at a closed park were stopped. They were stopped from hanging out. Stop hanging out, children! Marijuana was seized and a parent was contacted. At 8:06 p.m., response to a report of a hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle, because Canby hates parked vehicles and we must destroy all of them, caused by a commercial truck and a trailer. The commercial truck, who stated he did not realize he had hit the parked vehicle, was cited. On September 23rd at 12:34 a.m., following a pursuit, the driver of a vehicle previously reported stolen was arrested for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, attempted to elude police officers, and on an outstanding Marion County felony warrant. And a passenger in the vehicle was arrested for unauthorized use of a motor vehicle. At 2 p.m., a driver was arrested for possession of methamphetamine and a probation violation detainer. At 9:33 p.m., following a report of a hit-and-run crash, the suspect was located and arrested for DUI, alcohol, and reckless driving. On September 24th at 11:39 a.m., response to a suspicious person, the worst kind of person, the suspect was arrested on an outstanding Oregon City warrant. At 11:14 p.m., a cyclist was...
Sorry. I just read ahead. This is great. A cyclist was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, felon in possession of a restricted weapon, failing to register as a sex offender, and DUI-controlled substance. I mean, that's just the type of person we want coming through Camby, right? On September 25th at 3:50 p.m., report of hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. It was an RV, so it's even bigger. How do you hit one of those? On September 26th at 4 p.m., following a traffic stop, an uninsured RV was impounded. Stolen items and illegal substances were seized from the vehicle prior to it being towed. At 5:38 p.m., after exiting a store with a cart of unpaid merchandise, a suspect was arrested for theft, resisting arrest, and furnishing alcohol to minors. At 10:30 p.m., report of a swerving vehicle nearly hitting a guardrail. Vehicle was located and the driver was arrested for DUI alcohol. On September 27th at 2:15 a.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was impounded. A firearm was also seized from the vehicle due to the driver's convicted felon status. At 5:02 p.m., report of a parked vehicle being vandalized. Because how dare you have a parked vehicle in Camby? At 9:52 p.m., a driver was cited for driving while suspended, driving uninsured, and failure to install an ignition interlock device. It's like a triple threat, man. Come on. September 28th at 3 p.m., report of an unlocked vehicle being stolen from the driveway of a residence. And at 10:10 p.m., a cyclist disobeying a traffic control device and swerving back and forth across the road was stopped and subsequently arrested for an outstanding warrant and cited for minor in possession of alcohol. On September 29th at 8:17 p.m., driver arrested for possession of methamphetamine. And that's it. That's what the whole day had for us. That's inspiring. On September 30th at 10:15, an intoxicated driver stopped for reckless driving was arrested after intentionally throwing body fluids onto the first responder. The vehicle was impounded. God, that's gross. October 1st at 3:08 p.m., report of a lost wallet. October 2nd at 1:43 a.m., an uninsured vehicle being driven by a suspended driver was stopped. Two passengers, both with outstanding Marion County warrants, were arrested. Counterfeit currency and methamphetamine were seized from the vehicle prior to impound. At 7:19 a.m., report of a traffic crash at a drive-through lane of a restaurant. Oh my gosh. At 8:20 p.m., a group of juveniles consuming alcohol and marijuana were contacted. Two of the youths were taken into protective custody, while the others were released to family members. On October 3rd at 3:30 p.m., two shoplifting suspects were contacted in their vehicle. The driver was cited and released on an outstanding warrant and issued a citation for driving uninsured and driving while suspended. Stolen items and a controlled substance were seized from the vehicle before it was impounded. October 4th at 11:47 a.m., report of theft from a vehicle. That's it. And finally, at 5:20 on October 5th, a driver was arrested for DUI. Alcohol, reckless endangerment, criminal driving while suspended, and failure to install the ignition interlock device. Looks like he took the earlier one and wanted to just one-up it just a little bit more, because we can't just let it lie in Camby. And this has been Now Hear This Camby podcast. We thank you guys for listening to our show. Make sure you come back and make sure you stay safe. Also, vote. Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, just bummed. Miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hair and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Camby, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart, and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Camby and Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry.
Now Hear This, Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This, Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.